Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Text 20. Vishvam Atma Gatam Vyanjan Kutasto Jagad Ankura Swa Tejasa Pibat Tivram Atma Prasvapanam Tama Vishram Atma Gatam Vyanjan Kutasto Jagad Ankura Swatejasapi Bhativram Atma Prasvapanam Tama Vishram Atma Gatam Vyanjan Kutasto Jagad Ankura Swatejasapi Bhativram Atma Prasvapanam Tama Vishram Atma Gatam Vyanjan Kutasto Jagad Ankura Swatejasapi Bhativram Atma Prasvapanam Tama Jagadankara Svatejasapi Bhaktivram Atma Prasvapanam Tama Vishvam, the universe, Atmagatam, contained within itself, Vyanjan, manifesting, Kutasta, unchangeable, Jagat Ankura, the root of all cosmic manifestations. Svatejasa, by its own effulgence, apibat, swallowed, tivram, dense, atma prasvapanam, which had covered the Mahatattva, tama, darkness, translation. Thus, after manifesting variegatedness, the effulgent Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself, which is the root of all cosmic manifestations, and which is not destroyed at the time of annihilation, swallows the darkness that covered the effulgence at the time of dissolution. I see. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ever-existing, all-blissful, and full of knowledge, his different energies are also ever-existing in the dormant stage. Thus, when the Mahatattva was created, it manifested the material ego and swallowed up the darkness which covered the cosmic manifestation at the time of dissolution. This idea can be further explained. A person at night remains inactive, covered by the darkness of night. Though when he's awakened in the morning, the covering of night, or the forgetfulness of the sleeping state, disappears. Similarly, when the Mahatattva appears after the night of dissolution, the effulgence is manifested to exhibit the variegatedness of this material world. Interesting. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachade Jatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikap Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vishvamatmakatam Vyanjan Kutasto Jagadankura Svatejasa Pibhativram Atma Prasvapanam Tama. Thus, after manifesting variegatedness, the effulgent Mahatattva, which contains all the universes within itself, which is the root of all cosmic manifestations, and which is not destroyed at the time of annihilation, swallows the darkness that covered the effulgence at the time of dissolution. Hare Krishna. Yes, well, process of creation. This is the process of creation, as is described in a number of places in our literatures. We mentioned the other day about the description in the Brahma Samhita and in other places in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's also basically the same description, certainly on the essential level, that after the pradhan is stimulated by the glance of the Lord, which contains the living entities, the kala shakti, the energy of time, and the icha shakti, the energy, the potency, the power of the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give the conditioned souls the opportunity to come back to him. Plus, there are other energies also, Those are the main ones, I mean, in that particular situation. So that stimulates the pradhan to manifest into the mahatattva, which is being described here. Yes. So, yeah. The Srila Prabhupada makes the point at the beginning of the purport that actually all the energies of the Lord, they're always present. They're ever present. But just sometimes they may not, or they or some of them at least, may not be manifest. Even at sometimes some of them may be manifest, but not as much as at other times. It is a pretty profound situation. It is not so easy. But in principle, on a basic level, we can understand what's going on, or at least understand, get an idea, a picture of what's going on. So after the first stimulation of the pradhan, of course, meaning the completely unmanifest form of the material nature, all the different, what is generally described as being the 24 elements of material nature, they're all mixed up together in the pradhan. 24 includes the 8 basic material separated energies, earth, water, fire, etc. Then the senses, the sense organs, the sense functions, like this. So these 24, when the material nature is in the state of pradhan, they're all mixed up together and you cannot see where is the earth, where is the water, where are the modes. But they're there. They're definitely there. Just like sometimes a devotee makes a soup for us. We have some very expert soup makers here, including Jai Satchinanda and others too. And sometimes you have this very nice soup and you have to think, what was in it? And Yamuna Devi Dasi, the great cook, who unfortunately passed away some years ago, it was said about her, where she was traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India. And of course, in India, you get these cooks who, at least in terms of, you could say, Indian cooking, they are simply super expert. Simply super expert. And they told her, and she tried to cultivate the ability, but they told her that a really qualified cook can taste a preparation and tell you all the ingredients, including all the different spices, and in what quantities they were put in, and at what point in the process of the preparation they were put in. Because, you know, in some preparation, anyway, some spices are put in at different times. Yeah, it's a science, actually. Yes, and so that is the qualification, or a qualification, of an expert cook. And then, once they've done that, they can then make that preparation, which someone else made it, but they can then make it exactly as it was made. The taste will be just precisely the same. Anyway, so all the ingredients are there, but you have to be expert to know what they are, at least in many cases where there's some very sophisticated preparation. Some dal preparations, they apply different spices at different times and different types of sweeteners. Anyway, let's not get into that too much, but you have to be expert. It's a skill. Otherwise, you look at it and it just looks, you know, particularly if it's a soup or a dal preparation, it just looks like, well, you know, a whole lot of things got mixed up together. But actually, it's highly scientific. And each element, each ingredient, its presence can be noted precisely by an expert. So similarly, in the pradhan, all these things are there. The three modes are there. The senses and sensory capabilities, and what to speak of the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, they're all there. But they're all mixed up together, and therefore it looks like, and the scientists say it's one of the few things they may have got partially right, it's like a cosmic soup. It's like a cosmic soup. Anyway, but so the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says here, are also ever-existing. Just as the Lord is ever-existing, the energies are existing, but sometimes they're in a dormant state. Sometimes some of them are in a dormant state, others aren't. Just like now that the Mahatattva, this description is that when the Mahatattva was created, there it is. Mahatattva is now there, or it's in the process of manifesting, means all those different ingredients being identifiable, distinct from each other. Then the material ego manifests. False ego manifests. It really sort of stands up and becomes prominently manifest, very visibly manifest. And when it does that, then the darkness which was there, which came upon the whole material situation, when the previous material creation was destroyed, dissolved, like that. Then the material ego, the false ego, it has that effect. It swallows the darkness. It swallows the darkness, which is naturally there when the material nature is just, you know, all the living energy is withdrawn from it. Yes, just like we understand this universe, we're in the universe right now. Right now, of course, it's daytime, we can see so many things. But later, when the sun goes, it will fall into darkness. And actually, that darkness basically is the natural state of the universe. It's only when the sun is there and we are situated in the sort of active sun rays that we can see anything at all. Otherwise, you take out the sun and you've got darkness. And that's the way it is. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Shri Giri Govardhan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And that's the way it naturally is. It's not that it's naturally in light, but sometimes darkness sort of takes over but it's naturally in darkness, but sometimes, depending on where you're situated on the planet, sometimes light takes over and pushes away the darkness temporarily. Otherwise, if it wasn't for the sun, there would be darkness. Because that is the universe sort of as it is. And Srila Prabhupada gives an explanation, very nice explanation. This idea can be further explained. And Prabhupada explains how a person at night is inactive and unconscious, covered by the darkness of night, and you could say the covering, the darkness of ignorance. But when the person is awakened in the morning, then, you know, of course, some people, they sleep even at this time of the day. They sleep, even though it's light outside everywhere else. But they go into ignorance, they sleep. But otherwise, when a person is sleeping at night, then they're awakened in the morning. And the darkness of the night, or particularly the forgetfulness of sleeping, disappears. And then life goes on. Life goes on from wherever the person left off the night before. But otherwise, when one's asleep, one is in ignorance. It's one thing being in ignorance, sort of, you might say, normal ignorance. Means, like, here we are, we're sitting here, and our program is going on, the deities are there, and we are here, and everything is going on like that. But, so we are not in complete ignorance, complete forgetfulness and total lack of awareness as we were several hours ago. We're in a conscious state. But still, despite that, even though we're in conscious state and we feel our bodies and we feel, we see, we experience, but we are not perceiving our eternal spiritual nature. We are not perceiving, in the sense, of course we are conscious, but we are not perceiving ourselves as eternal spirit souls. It's just the consciousness is there. But the consciousness is limited. When consciousness is not limited, then as Lord Krishna says, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, verse 2, Rajavidya Rajaguryam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge. And what does it say next? Because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So if we take that at face value, and, you know, generally that's how we're meant to take what's said in Bhagavad Gita, then it means that we are actually going to directly perceive the self, our self. Not just perceive that, yes, I'm conscious and you're conscious and like this, consciousness is there, but to get direct perception of the self by realization. Yeah. And that's the special nature of Krishna consciousness compared to many other or even just other religious processes, that Krishna consciousness has the potency to give direct perception, direct realization, and it's not simply, as other processes often refer to themselves, it is not just a belief system. Other processes generally, they are belief systems, and they don't go beyond being belief systems. The Krishna consciousness, of course, on one level, there's the belief system level, obviously, where faith in the reality, which has not yet been completely perceived, is there. But ultimately, it comes to the point of direct perception of the self and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as was mentioned, or was in another program, about Prahlad Maharaj. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, "So where's this God of yours?" And Prahlad, as an innocent child, said, "Everywhere." And because he was perceiving him like that. And then Hiranyakashipu indicated the pillar. Maybe that pillar over there. Anyway, he indicated the pillar, pointed to the pillar, and said, "Well, look, if he's everywhere, is he in that pillar?" And Prahlad looked at the pillar and saw the Lord there, and just in a straightforward way said, "Yes, he's in the pillar." And Hiranyakashipu said, "All right, well, I'm going to kill him then." And he punched the pillar. He didn't hit it with his sword or a club or some weapon. He punched the pillar. He must have had extremely, extremely strong body. He punched the pillar. The pillar just shattered, and out came the Lord who was within the pillar. Anyway, So it's like that. It's like that. Krishna consciousness is very amazing. And as in terms of this example given by Srila Prabhupada here, that the reality is always around us. We may be asleep, but our being asleep doesn't affect the reality surrounding us. It's there. It's just our ignorance when we're sleeping, because sleeping means a deeper degree of ignorance than we're in currently. It's just because of the ignorance that we're not aware of the reality. And step by step, you know, in Krishna consciousness, so many things are step by step. Step by step, as we apply ourselves and really try to give ourselves heart and soul to Krishna, to Prabhupada, to the spiritual master, to the process, to the chanting of the holy names, then gradually the ignorance is dispelled. And it's something like when a person wakes up. There's an interesting example I want to give, just for the sake of information. It's from, it's related to this, but there's a slightly different point to it. It's a very interesting point, which is discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Offhand, I'm afraid I can't give you the reference or references, but it's particularly brought out by Srila Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha. It's a very interesting point that we know that there are three stages of consciousness, three stages of manifestation. There's The wakeful state, we're in the wakeful state right now. Then there's the sleeping state. Then there is the state of deep sleep. Maybe you remember reading about these three stages of manifestation of consciousness. The consciousness is there, but it's just under certain circumstances, it's only operating to certain degrees. So it's interesting to note, just a little interesting point, that the wakeful state which we're in right now is only one of the three. And the other two states, they're states of sleep. Just different states of sleep. Anyway, that's one thing. But Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in the wakeful state, then consciousness, our consciousness is situated in three places. It's situated in the body, it's situated in the mind, and it's situated in itself, in the self, the soul, of course. That's, you know, where our consciousness comes from. But now it's distributed. It's distributed into our body so we can see. We can see and we can feel and so on and so forth. Our consciousness is distributed. But then the next point is, which is stated in the Bhagavatam verse or verses he's referring to, that when you're asleep, just in the sort of basic state of sleep, your consciousness has been withdrawn from your body. And therefore you're lying there. You may be lying this way or that way or that way or whatever way you're lying in some way, but you don't know because your consciousness is not situated in your body, your gross body. But in that state, the difference between that state and the state of deep sleep is that in that state, your consciousness is situated in your mind. So therefore, it's sometimes called the dreaming state. It's like the basic sleeping state. You're asleep, you're definitely asleep, but your consciousness is situated in your mind, and therefore dreams occur. And you know, obviously everyone has had so many dreams. So the consciousness is now situated in two places, in the subtle body, particularly the mind, you know, hardly situated in the intelligence, but anyway, it's there. Plus, of course, it's situated in the self. Obviously, it's situated in the soul. But then deep sleep means that the consciousness is withdrawn from the gross body already, plus the consciousness is withdrawn from the subtle body, from the mind. But, of course, the consciousness is still situated in the soul, but it's just covered over by ignorance due to being sleeping. And Srila Prabhupada actually talks about this, that when a person, and probably we've all had experience, I'm sure, when you wake up from sleeping, even you've had like a full night's sleep, sometimes you feel more refreshed than other times. And so what makes the difference to how you feel when you wake up is whether you went into deep sleep or not, or for how long, to what degree you went into deep sleep, and how long or to what degree you were in the dreaming state. And if, you know, if you were just dreaming heavily, then you can wake up in the morning and you still feel tired. But if you really went into deep sleep, then you wake up in the morning and you feel really refreshed. Because the body and the gross body and the subtle body have really been able to relax and be rejuvenated. Yeah. And Jiva Goswami makes an interesting point. You know, this is the particularly interesting point, is that he says that the state of deep sleep is of all material conditions that you may be in, the state of deep sleep is the closest there is to spiritual realization. Because when you're situated in the soul, it's not just that the body is, gross body is relaxed and the subtle body, but your consciousness is situated. You are conscious of your spiritual nature in a very covered state, very covered by ignorance, but still you cannot avoid the fact that you are in contact with yourself and you are conscious of yourself. And therefore, it's not just your body was relaxed, etc. Therefore, the feeling of rejuvenation in the morning is related to that. Interesting, isn't it? The closest thing to spiritual realization in material life. But it's not that close. But it's the closest. Yeah, so... So anyway, now the living entities, in terms of Lord Kapila's description, the living entities have entered the womb of material nature. The universes, now the Mahatattva is there. The universes, of course, actually we read in Brahma Samhita, they come from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. And when the Pradhan has transformed into Mahatattva and all the elements are assembled, sort of, so to speak, separate from each other, then the universes enter, and then the ingredients, the material energies, the senses, the modes and all that, and the living entities enter into the particular universe. And then, step by step, life as we know it starts again, having been wound up at the end of the previous creation or at the destruction of the previous creation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.